Pastor, why don't you come and preach for us today?
Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua tonight. Joshua chapter number 8. And I'm going to move this down here. And I love that song that we sang, the second song that we sang. He won't. I love one particular line in that song. He gives peace that makes no sense. Peace that makes no sense. And so thankful that we can have peace in the midst of chaos when the world is on fire and has no sense of what the meaning of the word peace is, how that we can have peace within because Jesus is living inside of us, being in Christ. We'll talk a little bit more about that on Sunday in the Psalms. But Joshua chapter 8, I am praying, and I hope that you'll pray with me that my voice will carry out tonight. I've been losing it today, so please help me. I'm not losing it like I'm going to lose my temper. It's not that way, but I'm losing my voice. So help me if you will, and if you'll pray for me tonight, that'd be great. Have you ever seen the movie, and maybe you kids have seen it, and maybe some of you adults, have you ever seen the movie Inside Out? Inside Out. It's a story about an 11-year-old girl named Riley, who's from a Midwestern town. She loves playing hockey, and her world is turned upside down when her family tells her that they are moving to San Francisco, away from all of her friends. She's having to start all over. And the movie is about the different emotions that she battles throughout this entire transition. And I use that story in that movie kind of as a segue into Joshua chapter 8 because it reminds me of this passage. Remember how the people fought against Jericho and they won the battle? And then right on the heels of that in Joshua chapter number 7, they found out they were going to go to the next little city. And it was just a small place, not a lot of people. Just 12,000 people lived in Ai. And when they went there, they said, oh man, this is not even a big deal. We can do this on our own. We don't even need to ask our entire army to go with us. It'll be simple. Well, we know the story in Joshua chapter 7, how that they went and came back with their tail tucked between their legs. They had been defeated. 36 men died because they did not realize that one person did not obey God's command. They did not listen to what God said. So in chapter number 8, everything has been restored. Achan has been punished. His family's been punished. And now they're ready to go to Ai. They're ready to go to this city. But how are they going to go when they had one big battle that they won and then they had one big battle that they lost? How would they go forward? And that's a lot like our lives, grown-ups and boys and girls. Sometimes it feels like, man, we're winning, and sometimes it feels like we're losing. Sometimes it feels like, man, this could not be any better than it is. And then sometimes we're like, could this be any worse than it is right now? So how do we go forward? There's going to be battles in our life, but how do we proceed? We're going to win some of them. We're going to lose some of them. But how do we go forward? And how do we take our next step in doing so? So if you're taking notes, number one, you can write down their emotions. All right? It kind of makes sense, you know, with the Inside Out. But their emotions. Look at verse number 1, Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. Now, I want you to think about the movie again, all right? I want you to think about Inside Out. There are five emotions on display, and we see those five emotions on display in verse number 1 and 2. And we're going to talk about all five of them, and we see how they carry out here. But how we deal with our emotions is how we see our next steps take place. You think about as we deal with our next steps and taking our next step, we really have to learn how to keep our emotions in check. We have to learn how to deal with our emotions because they are a very real part of our life. Now think about it like this, boys and girls. If I got mad at somebody and I took my fist and I punched that person in the nose, would that be their fault that I punched them in the nose because they made me mad? Or would that be my fault that I used my fist to punch them in the nose? Which one would it be? Would it be their fault or my fault? My fault. Okay, it wouldn't be their fault. You sure? Okay, all right, it sounds better. But it would be my fault because I have a choice and I chose to do the wrong thing. How about if somebody pulls out in front of me in traffic and they make me angry? Is it their fault that I yell at them because they pulled out in front of me? Or is it my fault that I didn't keep my emotions in check? Which one is it? Is it their fault or is it my fault? It's my fault. It's my fault because we all have emotions and we have to learn how to control our emotions. So I have a choice. I have a choice, and it's the same thing today. It might have happened to you on the way to church tonight, but we have a choice how we're going to respond. So the first emotion we see on display is found in verse number 1, and it's the emotion fear. Now, I need somebody to help me because fear is up on the board, and I think we have a picture of fear here from the movie, but fear. All right, who wants to be fear tonight? Somebody help me, all right? All right, Madeline, you're going to be fear for us, okay? Now, I want you to turn and face everybody. Turn and face everybody, okay? And I want you to sound like fear. Give everybody what you think fear would sound like. Go. Okay, all right, that works. All right, now hold on. All right, I'm going to let you do it one more time in just a second. All right, so when we talk about fear, fear makes us sound like, there you go, all right? Let's do it without the smile on our face because I don't think fear would smile, okay? Ready? Go. There you go. All right, good enough. All right, you can sit back down. That's fear, man. Good job. All right, but look at verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, here's the word, fear not. All right, what does fear look like, Madeline? Not stand up and show it, everybody. All right, there it is. All right, good job. Thank you. All right, if you were to go back to the very first interaction between God and Joshua in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 9, we would see this phrase, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid. He's talking about Joshua's fear. Hey, Joshua was the new leader. Joshua was the guy who was going to be asked to do something he'd never done before, leading all these people. And all of a sudden, Joshua is faced with fear. How is he going to proceed? But did you know that God speaks to us in the Bible a lot about fear? Because he knows that we are prone to be afraid. He knows that that is a natural response that all of us have when we're put in difficult situations. He says, Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. Over and over and over, we see that phrase, fear not, do not be afraid. So when we talk about fear, when God's with us, why would we have any reason to be afraid? Boys and girls, is God bigger than everything?
He is way, way bigger.
Way, way bigger, absolutely. Is God bigger than any problem we face? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Is God bigger than anything hard that I might have to face? Is he bigger than any problem I have? Okay. If God is bigger than any bad thing that I would face or any problem that I would ever have, and God is on our side, should we ever be afraid? No. We don't have any reason to. And grown-ups, it's the same for us. If God is on our side and he's living and breathing inside of us, why do we get afraid? We shouldn't be. Now, there'll be times when we're faced with fear and we have to look at it dead on and we have to respond to it. But we have no reason to be afraid because he is with us. So the first one is fear. And what does fear sound like, Madeline? Turn around and show everybody. Fear sounds like, okay, all right, there we go. All right, the second one is sadness. Sadness. All right, let's see sadness on the screen. All right, everybody knows who sadness is. All right, who wants to be sadness tonight? Somebody, anybody. I'm gonna call on one of your moms or dads. All right. Yeah. Liberty is like, uh-huh. All right, Miss Carrie. All right, there we go. All right, Miss Carrie. You got voluntold. All right. So thank you for volunteering, Miss Carrie. We appreciate that so very much. All right, Miss Carrie, will you please stand up and show us what sadness may look like? There you go. All right. Now, Liberty, now hold on a second. Do it one more time. Liberty, watch your mom. Okay, now, Liberty, you stand up and do it. Yes, ma'am. We're waiting. There you go. There you go. All right. Okay, thank you so much. Liberty, give her a hand. Good job. I'm proud of you. All right. So think about sadness. Look back at verse number 1. The Bible says, the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. We already talked about fear. What does fear look like? What does fear sound like? Okay, all right. And then it says, neither be thou dismayed. The word dismayed means to be broken, to be sad about something. He's saying, hey, don't be sad. What was the biggest thing that had just happened when Joshua became the leader? The people had just mourned for 30 days because of something big that had happened. Anybody remember what it was? What had just happened that actually made Joshua become the leader? Who died? Moses died. They mourned for 30 days when Moses died. The greatest leader to ever lead the children of Israel. Ever, all time. The Bible says so. And they were sad. And God says, don't be dismayed. And think about, there are times in our life when we're broken. We're sad about things. Now think about this situation in particular. Think about AI, okay? Think about 36 men who died at AI. Some of those guys were dads. Some of those guys were husbands. They were brothers. They were sons. They were uncles. And those families were sad that they didn't have their family anymore. There was sadness involved. And it's a real emotion. There was sadness even in Joshua when the first battle of Ai took place. In chapter 7, verse number 6, it says, and Joshua rent his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord unto the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust on their heads. This is a sign of sorrow. They're sorrowful for what happens. And God is telling them something that they could learn from this. Obedience is always better. Did you realize this? It's never right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right. It's never right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right. You think about our life today. That means it's not okay to cheat to get a better grade. That means it's not okay to lie to get somebody to pay attention to me. That means it's not okay to get somebody to focus on me and for me to be somebody that I'm not. I want to get somebody's attention. I want somebody to like me. So I'm going to pretend to be somebody that I'm not just so that they'll like me. It's never right to do wrong, and it's never wrong to do right. That's not just something for the kids, grown-ups. That's for us too. It's always right to do right. And it's always wrong when we do wrong. So we think about sadness. So we got fear. What does fear look like? Sound like? Okay, all right, fear. What does sadness look like? Like this, as Liberty is getting up to do it. Okay, sadness, thank you. All right, the next emotion that we see is disgust. Disgust, all right? Who is going to be disgust? Let's see. That's disgust, all right? Now, some of you guys, well, we won't go there. Who wants to be disgust tonight? All right, Eva, it's up to you, girlfriend. All right, you get to be disgust, okay? All right, do you need your mom to display disgust first? Okay, all right, there you go. This is family service at its finest. All right, here's disgust right here. There you go, all right. Eva, did you see what she did? All right, good. Now you get to stand up and do it, okay? Here we go, disgust. Now show everybody else. You can't do it with a smile on your face, girl. You don't know? No smile. There you go. All right. There you go. Okay. All right. So disgust. Disgust. Now, let me ask you this. If you got food poisoning at a restaurant, anybody ever had food poisoning at a restaurant? It's miserable. Okay. Been there, done that. Have no desire to relive it. But Taco Bell, of all places. Praise the Lord. And I love Taco Bell. And so, which is problematic. But think about it. If you ever got food poisoning in a restaurant and you knew that that place was off limits to you and somebody looked at you and said, hey, let's go out to eat and let's go to, and they mentioned that place that you got food poisoning, your first reaction might be, ugh, why would you do that? Why would anybody eat there? I got sick there. That's gross. That's disgusting. It's disgust. But this is on display as well. Look here again at verse number 1. Fear not. There's fear. Neither be thou dismayed. There's sadness. For all the people, take all the people of war with thee. Arise and go up to Ai. What was their last interaction with Ai? All those people died. Oh, not that place. Oh, why can't we just go around that city? Do we have to go back there? Disgust. It's on display. You know, if your dad, husband, brother died there, you might be disgusted too. And that's the feeling. That's the emotion. And God told Joshua for them to get everyone assembled, everyone ready, and show Ai that they meant business. But God didn't tell them to stay home. He didn't say, all right, go around Ai. He said, guys, you have to face Ai. You have to go back to the place that you got defeated, and you have to face it again. Isn't it ironic when we lose battles that there are lessons and God wants us to overcome that lesson before we can go forward? Before I can move on, I've got to be able to face that giant. I've got to be able to face that mountain, and I've got to go through it. You can't go around it. Can't go under it. Can't let it go over top of you. You got to go through it. And disgust. But think about what God said in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, I don't want you to go one way or the other. I want you to go straight. I want you to go through it. I want you to go ahead. Go forward. And don't be disgusted. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. Don't be sad. The fourth emotion that we see on display is anger. Anger. All right, who's going to be anger? I knew it was coming. All right. You look like the perfect candidate for anger, Josh. Okay, all right. Aaron. I was thinking about your dad. All right. So here we go. Is your mom and dad in here? Okay, all right, so they can't show you. Okay, all right, so I want you to take a deep breath. Now look on the screen. There's anger, okay? All right, so you got in your mind what you're going to do? All right, what does anger, let me stand over here. What does anger look or sound like? Go. All right, there you go. Okay, all right, good job. All right, now hold on. That was a good, now see, he's gone to gladness, okay? Anger to gladness. All right, stand back up one more time, Aaron. All right, now, that was a good practice run, okay? All right, it was a good practice time. But I don't think everybody saw it, okay? So you need to do it one more time, all right? So I'll move this out of the way. All right. Everybody see, what does anger look like? Go. There you go. Okay, all right, sounds good. Now think about this. As they were hearing the battle plan, look at this, verse number one. He said, see, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. But that was what they heard the first time. That was what they were told the first time. They were told, hey, we got this. We're just going to go over here, this little bitty piddly city, and we're going to beat all these people. This is us. We got this. And they didn't. And now they're hearing, hey, we're going to go back there. There was probably some people who were angry. Angry at Ai, angry at the king, angry at the people, maybe even angry at God. God, you said you were supposed to fight for us. God, you said you were supposed to watch over us. God, why did you let this happen? God, I'm trying to do all the right things, and this bad has happened to me. Why me, God? It's not fair, God. I'm the one trying to serve you, and everybody else gets away with murder except me, and I'm the one who's struggling. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but we've all been there. We've all had those moments of, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. Maybe not physically. We wouldn't pull an Aaron and, you know, vocalize it. I won't have you do it. We wouldn't vocalize it. We wouldn't necessarily rage monster on this thing. But at the same time, inwardly, you might not say it out loud, but maybe in your mind or in your heart. Why me? This just doesn't seem fair. You know, think about bad things that happen in our life. Bad things happen as a result of sin. We go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. If we're looking for the root of the problem, bad things happen because of sin. And if we're going to get angry at anything, we should get angry at sin that's around us, not the people that are around us. How about Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse 29? He that is slow to wrath or anger is of great understanding. He that's slow to anger, somebody who doesn't get mad quickly, somebody who doesn't look like Aaron and just go, oh, there you go, just like that. Somebody who doesn't do that is of great understanding. Hey, let me ask you, don't raise your hand. How much understanding do you have? Slow to anger is someone with great understanding. Do you have a lot of understanding? Do you have patience? Hey, the things that come out of your mouth, are they words of peace or are they words of anger? Yeah, exactly. There it is. All right, so we got four of the emotions. We got fear. All right, what does fear look like? Fear right there. Okay. We got sadness on display. Sadness. There you go. All right, that Eeyore complex. All right, we've got disgust. Okay. Close enough. All right. And then we've got anger. All right, there we go. And then the last emotion that we're going to talk about tonight is joy. Joy. Yeah, that's what I thought. Me, pick me, pick me, pick me. All right, Adelaide, you're sitting back there. All right. So, Adelaide, what does joy? You know, you got to turn around and let everybody see you. All right. What does joy? That's exactly. All right. Okay. Joy. Somebody who is joy. Perfect. Perfect pick for that person. Look at verse number two. Look at verse number two. It says, "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves." Now, remember, boys and girls, when they went to Jericho, God said something very specific with all the stuff that was there. Remember Achan? And Achan got in trouble for disobeying. What did they say? Said, all the stuff that's laying there, when you see it, don't do what? Don't do what? Don't touch it. Don't touch it. It's not ours. Don't touch that stuff. It's not ours. It belongs to who? Church, who does it belong to? God. It's his. Don't touch it. But here in verse number two, Joshua says, or God tells Joshua, hey, everything you see, if you want it, you can take it. Wouldn't that be cool? If everything, if you went to Walmart or Target, well, if you went to Target, if you went to Target and you went down the toy aisle and your mom and dad said, anything you see, if you want it, you can have it. Yeah, how about that? How about if we went to the car lot, moms and dads, anything you want, you can have it. Oh. Yeah, there we go. Uh-huh. That's right. He woke up. So think about like this. Joy. Joy. But did you know that we have that joy inside us for those who are saved? For those who have Jesus inside of us, we have that joy. Joy looks like that, all right? Joy sounds like. Sounds like? Yippee. There you go. All right. Yippee. All right. Yippee. But think about it like this. When we honor the Lord, we put him first in our life, that joy continues in our hearts. We don't have any reason to be afraid. We don't have any reason to be disgusted. We don't have any reason to be sad. We don't have any reason to be angry because we have joy living inside of us because joy is found in him. Joy is not found in our external circumstances. That would be happiness. And we're not always happy. But joy can be consistent. And we can be emotional in the things that we do as long as we don't allow our emotions to control us. Do you realize, as a child of God, that you have control over your emotions? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, that's our emotions on display. Sadness, joy, all of those things, disgust, anger, all of them. Yeah, he's going to do it all the way home. All of those emotions on display, we have total control over all them. Now, let me say something and I'll give you the last 2 points and we'll be done. For the person who says, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. I can't control it. The Bible says that if you're in Christ, you can control it. So lovingly, respectfully, do you have Christ? Because if you have Christ, according to God's word, I can do all things through who? Christ, which strengthens me. Well, I just can't control my anger. I can't control my feelings. That's not what the Bible says for those who are in Christ. So I would ask you to do maybe some self-examination. And if you can't control it, maybe it's because you've not turned over your life to Christ. You've not turned over your soul to Him. Because according to God's word, He gives us the ability to control it. So we see the emotions. All right, number one, the emotions. We've got sadness, we've got disgust, we've got joy, we've got fear, we've got anger. There you go. All right, last 2 points. Let me give you number two. We see the education. The education. Now, they get the instructions. All right, here's what they were told to do. All right, well, I'm almost done. Pay very close attention. God gives Joshua instructions, and Joshua tells the people. He says, I want you to take 30,000 men. How many men? 30,000 men. All right, how many, church? 30,000. All right, he says, I want you to take 30,000 men. Now, how many did they take last time? They took 2,000 to 3,000. This is going to be overwhelming. This is going to be a show of force. Hey, we've got enough guys to obliterate the city. We're taking all of our guys. 30,000 men. They suit up, and Joshua says, okay, guys, I want you to go, and I want you to leave during the middle of the night when it's dark, and I want you to go behind the city, and I want you to lay there and wait. You wait for my signal. Now, the next morning, Joshua takes 5,000 men with him and says, we're going to go right up to the city, and we're going to start fighting with Ai. We're going to get them to see if they can leave the city. And so what he told them to do is, we're going to try and get them to come out of the city. And if they come out of the city, we're going to run and be like, ah, and take off running. And they're going to chase us. They're going to act like we're afraid, fear. We're going to look like this. That's how we're going to act. And when we get far enough away from the city and all the people leave the city, you 30,000 guys, we want you guys to go into the city and burn it down. Yeah, there you go. All right. I love the sound effects we have. Think about this. He says, I want you to burn it down. And when they turn and they see the city on fire, they'll know that they messed up. So he gives them education. He gives them their strategy. But the ultimate response was, guys, this is God's plan, not our plan. We're going to obey Him. Remember what they did around Jericho that didn't make sense? We're just going to walk around it one time every single day and go home. We're not going to say anything. We're not going to sound anything. And on the last day, we're going to march around it 7 times. We're going to blow the trumpet and shout, and the wall's going to fall down flat. Yeah, see? So think about all of this. You should do this on Sunday while we're having church. But yes, you should. We'll talk to your mom and dad. So he gives them the education. And the last one he tells them is the execution. The execution. Now, we're not talking about, you know, that kind of execution. We're talking about how they did it. So in verse 9 through 17, what does it say? It says in verse 9, Joshua therefore sent them forth. They went to lie in ambush, a bow between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. All the people, even the people of war that with him, went up, drew nigh, and came before the city, pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai, and he took about 5,000 men, set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. All right, and when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, their liars in wait in the west of the city, Joshua went that night in the midst of the valley. It came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, they hasted and rose up early. The men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people at the time appointed before the plain. But he wist not, he knew not, he didn't know, didn't realize that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them, fled by the way of the wilderness. All the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. They pursued after Joshua, were drawn away from the city. There was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. Execution, perfect, flawless. They did everything according to their plan. And all of the men, all of the soldiers left Ai. And you know what happened? All those people who were waiting, who were in ambush, the Bible says, they rushed in. And all those people were like, yeah, we got them. And all the people with Joshua were like, ah, we're going to die. Yeah, just like that. And then you have all of the men of Ai like, yeah, there you go, all right. Woohoo! They were joyful. They were joyful. And what did they sound like? Yippee! All right, there we go. They were joyful. They were following after him. And then one guy, we don't even know, his name was probably, I don't know, Jehoshaphat. I don't know. But Jehoshaphat turned and looked and said, uh-oh. Is it supposed to be doing that, king? Is our city supposed to be on fire like that?
No.
No. And they were surrounded. The execution was perfect. But here's the thought. How does this have to do with us? Okay? Boys and girls, moms and dads, here's how the application works. In our lives, we have a city that we're given refuge in. His name is Jesus. And Satan wants us every single day to come outside the city. Hey, chase me. Pursue me. Come get me. And we spend our whole lives reaching for stuff when we should just be satisfied in the city. We should stay in the city. How many of us know there's safety when we stay close to Jesus? There's protection when we stay close to Jesus. There's joy when we stay close to Jesus. But the farther away from Jesus we get, the easier it is for the enemy to pick us off. And we turn around and say, uh-oh, how did I get all the way here? I should have stayed way over there. Hey, church, boys and girls, as you grow up and as we are older and we have seen more of life and we know from experience, stay close to Jesus. Stay inside the city. There are some things that we don't need to experiment with. There are some things that you don't have to try. You just know that they're dangerous. Moms, dads, adults, you could give them a list, couldn't you? There are some things that you just don't have to try. You don't have to experiment with. You take God at his word and say, I don't need that. I don't need to do that. I'd rather stay in the city where there's safety. And Satan wants us to leave the city. He wants to get us out by ourselves where he can surround us and he can defeat us. But Jesus says, just stay close to me. Just stay in the city. In the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers, it talks about the cities of refuge. And the cities of refuge in the Old Testament were a type of Jesus in the New Testament. They were salvation. They were places of salvation and rest for the people who had been caught up in a crime unknowingly. They could go there as a city of refuge and they could be safe. And Jesus is our city of refuge. He's who we go to for safety and security and rest. And we need to remember, never forget, no matter what our emotions say, no matter if it's sadness or disgust, or it's fear, or if it's anger. Yeah, that's right. No matter what the emotion is, we can stay close to Jesus. Stay inside the city because that's where he is. And that's where he wants us to be. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truths that remind us, Lord, that our emotions are a part of our life, but we don't have to give in to our emotions. Lord, we can listen to your voice. We have joy because we have you. And Lord, I ask that you please help us to search our hearts. And Lord, if we are giving into our emotions, Lord, help us to reclaim those. In Christ, we can do all things. Thank you for being our city of refuge. Lord, our safety, our security, our salvation. Lord, I ask that you please bless our time tonight. Please help us to apply these truths to our hearts. Help us to stay close to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to have our prayer time tonight. Take our prayer requests.